Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by EverBank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
4:38, 4:37, 4:36. Can the Jaguars make something happen? Brunel under center, sends Keenan in motion from the near to the far side. He'll take the snap and drop back the throw. Pressure coming. He's jumping out to the near side. Pump action, cuts across the 50, breaks a tackle at the 45. He's at the 40. Mark Brunel running to the far sideline, turns the corner, 35-30. Down to the 25. An inside move, leaping for the 21. Mark Brunel with a masterful run of 29 yards. And the clock continues to run.
Are you blushing?
I didn't hear.
That was the Denver game.
I know. Where was the great blocks?
Oh, well, there's just not enough time to say that, big guy.
Oh, is that why?
He was running all over the place. Going to be that kind of a night for Jaguars Thursday. First Jaguars Thursday since November 21st. It's been a couple of weeks
since
we've been
guys.
On the air. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see
big
you
week
too.
For you, huh?
I'm excited. Yep. I'm deeply honored to get this opportunity to go into the Pride and join some great names, obviously the Weavers and Fred, Tony, and been looking forward to it a long time, and it's great for my family, and I'm thrilled about
it. I'm looking forward to Saturday night.
I was just about
absolutely.
To say, now you guys have an alumni weekend, and so you have a players' dinner on Saturday night. How much stone breaking goes on there?
You need a shuttle service.
Yeah. Hey, you guys got to work on Sunday now.
I think there's 40 or 50 guys coming. Like, that's how many were here for guys. Fred's last year, and it's a great event.
Yeah, it's not open to the public, folks, so don't even call and ask.
No, it's no guests. I mean, it's the players.
No wives.
No,
nothing.
Nope, just
it's,
us.
Just guys.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I. Like I said,
no hazing, right? It's just going to be like a big locker room up
need,
there.
I
in
need
the
to
West
call
Club.
My buddy Leon and see if he can go ahead and provide a car service because a lot of guys should need it.
You know what I'm looking forward to the most? I think I'm hoping Kyle Brady is there.
He will be.
He
sure.
takes,
of course, he is
be.
Confirmed
that he takes the mic and Kyle can have 45 minutes if he wants. Because he might be the funniest guy we've ever played with.
Have him do the Coughlin imitation?
Oh, he can do it all.
He can do it all. He is the funniest guy.
What's his character? What's
Mango.
Mango.
It's Mango.
And I will say this. You know who created Mango? Mark and I created Mango for Kyle.
What?
Yes. Because Mark and I roomed together.
If you're the one, by the way, that told him to put on the, what no, did he wear, the Speedo?
Well,
in the locker?
Let me tell you the whole story. So
we
roomed together, and even when we, even after you didn't have to anymore, we still, and we had it every night.
Yeah, we wondered about that.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, that's
what?
Okay.
What do you mean? Didn't we have to?
No. Well.
Anyway,
tell your story. I lied to you.
This show is really getting out
we
of control.
We had a king. We had one king bed.
It no, was, you did not just go there.
It was yes, a double. Mark had these great. Never mind. Anyways, one of the things we did. Is we watch Saturday Night Live
every
Saturday night, and so you know you did team meeting, chapel, snack, and by the time and bed check was like what 11, news would come on, so we'd watch something else at 11:30 because you couldn't sleep. I couldn't at least, so we'd sit there and watch Saturday Night Live. And one time, there was a number of inappropriate skits at Saturday Night Live that they did. Mango, who is this? Individual who was a guy, and he just had some characteristics. I don't want to get into it. But anyway,
so kind of a South Beach flair.
He had several flares. And we started making fun of Kyle and this other tight end because of another skit that I won't get into.
You know, this is really bad radio when you
I'm trying,
talk about
I
it.
Just, I realized as I got down the path. But anyways, it's not good radio. But anyways, we gave him the name, and he took it to a whole other level.
Well, it's so much so that coming back from Chicago.
Oh, he was out of control.
Chicago, after the 2001 season, so it was early January 2002, he did a Mango skit on the plane. Were you on the plane or were you on
no,
insurance?
I was
or
in here, there?
I was on,
yeah.
I was in the back.
It cost him $5,000, yeah, Coughlin fined.
You should have seen the ones he used to do in the locker room.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
The best.
They were the best.
Oh, wow. He was really good.
He is a colorful character. So how do we get off on this thing?
Well, it's just alumni. All the alumni coming in. Michael Cheever's coming in.
Cheddar's going to be here?
Novak. Cheddar's going to be here.
Novak?
Jeff Novak is going to be here. What's a couple of the names on that one? Like, who's that guy?
Isaac Smolko.
Isaac Smolko.
Yeah, Isaac's coming. He played tight end, right?
Yeah.
Smolko. Tight end who played a little linebacker in a couple of games in 2007.
Yeah, he played linebacker in a pinch.
Yeah, you remember Ike, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I do. I certainly do.
When I heard that, I went, Isaac Smolko.
But it's a fun night, and it's a fun weekend. And so it'll be good.
And luckily, none of you have to play on Sunday.
Well, thankfully.
Although, I'll say it again, you two have to work.
I'll be fine. I'll be ready to go. I'm a pro.
I'm not hearing anything from the guy next to you.
Oh, he'll be ready.
He's a pro. Oh, I'll be good.
Be ready to go.
I mean, come on. I mean, we've gone to dinner with him on Saturday nights before. He'll be just fine.
355 NFL. Dinner Saturday night, he doesn't say, I need the shuttle service.
Yeah, it's because we take a cab there.
I was talking about other guys.
I know.
Yeah, sure.
Not me.
355 NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, so where do you want to start before we pile on?
Pile on who?
Well, it's going to be the Mark Brunell.
Oh, are we doing
We don't have to do that, guys. Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
We need to talk at least a segment about the whole induction.
Oh, yeah, no, we will.
No, but before we go there, Brian, you need to share the story of when Mark first came to Jacksonville, your first experience.
I'm not even sure you remember this.
He probably doesn't.
I've got a picture of it somewhere. Do you remember your first evening in Jacksonville?
We went to dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I remember that.
Here's how it goes.
Yeah, but you know why?
They trade for Mark. They bring Mark in, right?
I don't. It's coming.
Yeah, the Jaguars trade for Mark, and they bring him in. They do a short press conference, and then they turn to Peter Schirmeier, who was then the VP of Broadcasting and Creative Services, and they said, find something to do with him. They didn't know what to do with him. I mean, they were going right back into the draft room.
They didn't say that about me.
And
I know.
Yeah, it was real simple. Can you find something to do?
I had a room at the lodge.
Interview him. Do something. So we didn't have an off-season show, but we created one that night. We called WOKV. They gave us Friday night. We said, we got the new quarterback in town. How about you let us take the 6 to 7 o'clock hour? Great. So Mark's just in town. He's heard it's Florida. There's a beautiful beach, and we haul him all the way over to Lane and Lennox on the west side where the Roosters
are. Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we take him into this dingy old studio, and he must be thinking.
And that was dingy.
What in the world am I doing? There's a rooster in here.
Well, I came from Green Bay, so it wasn't that bad change.
Okay. So we do an hour show, and then we go to the beach, and it was Daron Cherry and you and me and Matt Robinson and Peter Schirmeier, and we proceeded to run up one of the largest dinner bills.
Where at?
The Ponte Vedra
Inn & Club?
No, it wasn't the Inn & Club. It was the lodge.
It was the lodge.
Sitting out back in the lodge. Yeah, and it was a great evening. And I remember thinking, this is a good guy. I hope he's got a shot to win the job. Because they had taken Steve Berline.
Absolutely, I remember
all
that.
This talk about Berline. I said, I like this guy. I think he's got a shot. And I hadn't even seen him play.
I remember the first time I met Mark was the first mini camp after the draft. So that would have been, I guess, the first weekend of May. And they all fly in, and we come in, and we're checking in, and we stayed out in Bay Meadows, like the Homewood Suites or I don't know where. It was off Bay Meadows, all I remember. And I remember walking in the lobby because they drop all of us rookies off, and I remember asking him, like, who's that? Because you knew the other rookies better because you've been around. And we were all checking in, and they said, oh, that's the guy we traded for from Green Bay, Mark Brunell. And then I remembered him.
The guy from Washington.
Washington.
Pac-10 back then.
And, little did I know that I'd have to be spending the rest of my life with him.
I got one more quick story. Back then, I used to do the coach's show with Tom Coughlin about 6 months before you got here in the fall of 1994. And I would go into his office every Thursday and spend a half an hour with him. We'd plan out the show because he wasn't game planning, didn't have practice. So, I mean, you can imagine how he laid it all out. And I went in, and there was a tape. And it said, Mark Brunell. And I said, who's that? He grabbed the tape and he put it. He goes, don't you worry about who that is.
Back when there was tape.
They were tapes. But there were tapes of all these guys out there. And
he didn't want you to say who they're interested in.
Well, but I wasn't going to do that anyway. But he's
paranoid.
I figured that out. And I said, can we watch a little bit? Can I just see it? He goes, yeah. And he put the tape in. And so we watched some of it.
Was it Packer?
Yeah, it was Packer. Oh, yeah, exactly. So he put it.
Those five plays?
But then he said to me, don't you say a word. Won't say a word. And that was probably November of 94, five, 6 months before they made the trade.
I can remember Tom being up in Green Bay. And he was. I can remember the first time I ever saw him was in the weight room. and you know, who's this guy, you know, and he wasn't exactly a familiar face at that time, and someone had mentioned, oh, that's, he's the new Jacksonville Jaguar coach, and was at BC, and I didn't know anything about him, but I remember him being up there. Never had a conversation with him, but had no idea I'd be, you know, playing for him for 8 years, and he'd be, you know, my coach. But I do remember him up in Green Bay.
Because he was traveling around in the fall.
Yeah, he's looking for players.
Well, one of the funny stories that I ever remember when Mark came in, you know, because we were working out, you know, starting in March, you know, before you got drafted and all that kind
of stuff. I remember coming in March when they brought me my visit.
Yeah.
Walking down the hallways and seeing all you guys work out.
Yeah,
in the construction.
Getting after it, man, you know.
You guys were, I was like,
Jerry Palmieri.
This is what I'm coming to.
The strength and conditioning.
We're in trouble.
I mean, he had us in there doing,
who's,
you know,
this log
power cleans and deadlifts, you know, all this Olympic weightlifting stuff.
You were like, what am I doing here?
And I was like, okay, you know, you got to roll with the punches. So I'll roll with the punches. Well, then, you know, after the draft, things start to pick up a little bit. And Burline being the veteran quarterback, you know, his workouts were kind of modified. Well, Mark was coming in kind of as an unproven quarterback. And I remember Jerry Palmieri had Mark doing power cleans and squats. And
that's what you did, right?
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what the hell is our strength coach doing with quarterbacks and doing squats and power cleans? He's gonna hurt them.
Yeah, you
the
know
what he's doing.
And because of that, a year later, I had to carry his butt into his couch because he blew his back out doing power cleans.
Yeah.
And literally had to pick him up out of my truck and carry him in to Stacy, looking, going, what are you guys doing?
I think I got hurt more in the weight room than I ever did on the field.
But I do remember this. I do remember this. You were doing that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you were one of the strongest quarterbacks that I'd ever seen. I mean, I give you credit that you were willing to do it, but you were, you know, pretty wiry. I mean, I give you credit.
My first experience with Logman was, I don't know if you remember this.
Probably not.
But I'm flying in from Green Bay, and it wasn't my first trip. It was after a mini camp or something like that, and I go to the rental car, check, you know, Hertz or Avis or whatever it is, and I said, hey, you know, I didn't have a reservation, and I said, hey, I need to rent a car. Do you have anything available? And I said, and they said, well, yeah, we've got a car. I said, good. Can we have your license? Can we have your, you know, and Logman's at the same place. I don't remember which car service it was, but, and they said, well, sorry, Mr. Brunell, we can't rent you a car. I said, well, why not? You're not 25.
I do remember that.
And I'm sitting at the airport. I'm thinking, how in the heck? You know, I didn't know where to go. I couldn't get a car. And Jeff said, hey, just tell him to put it on the Jaguar corporate account. And it was the only chance I was getting out of that airport other than a ride with you. But I remember that. It was very early. I don't even, I mean, I had known Jeff, just a couple weeks, but he saved my butt at the airport and got me a car.
Did you ever pay the organization back for that car?
Oh,
probably
don't
not.
Even go there.
If
you charged.
We'll be talking
about it.
Probably not.
If you just casually said, just charge it to the Jaguars.
Well, I'll be have to mention that to Mr. Lamping.
It's a secret handshake, yeah.
Did you guys ever stay up on the north side?
Yeah, Dunn Avenue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's where we rolled out for the rookies.
Just wanted to make sure you enjoyed that little time up there.
Who? I never knew why. Who owned those places and why did we stay there? One of the owners had to own, I mean, one of the partners had to own that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. We'll just kind of leave it at that.
All right. And with that, we'll take our first
break. It
was great.
I enjoyed it. Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Visit Jaguars.com. Check out Inside the Jags, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up in all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Brunell with a five-step drop, stumbles, is hit as he throws, looking downfield for a wide receiver. Jimmy Smith tries to come back to the ball. It's batted into the air, and Keith Lyle makes the pick. Interception number 3 on Mark Brunell.
Joe obviously didn't want you to
Brunell
feel
will throw,
good about
yourself. Joe! That was brutal. I was waiting for like great
Joe.
Play. Or
there's lots of great plays. But Joe, I guess.
That it, hurts. Joe!
Joe, during the break, just figured that
put your hand down.
He didn't want you to feel too good.
There's a few of those.
All right, let's
the funny thing is, we were watching the Buffalo film. I'm sure we'll talk about that. And I was watching.
And at some point, we might.
And E.J. Manuel throws this ball that I'm like.
That's a great transition.
I'm like, why is he throwing that? I mean, the guy is covered. I mean, safety on the top, corner trail underneath, and he throws it. And I'm like, and so Mark's in there. I go, Mark, explain to me, what is a quarterback looking at? when he throws that ball.
He doesn't know.
Right, well, that's what Mark says. And I then I asked him, I said, how many times did you throw the ball, and right when you threw it, you're like, oh,
darn.
Just about every pick.
And he goes,
over 100 times.
Over 100 times.
Do you know that St. Louis game where you had the 5 interceptions, you know, that's the negative side of it. Do you remember the positive side from that game?
400.
No.
It was the Jaguars' first ever 100-yard rushing game. James Stewart had 100 yards.
Really?
That day. Yeah.
Really?
First time a Jaguars running back.
We rushed for like – we had
100
like,
yards in the game.
We had like 550 yards of total offense because he threw for like 450.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, well, it was a 17-14.
I think we had 80 snaps on defense too because of all those turnovers.
It was – yeah, there's a little bite
one
there.
Of them was on my – one of the turnovers was my fault. I'll never forget it. I think the one that either returned for a touchdown or closed, I was running Leslie O'Neal around, and I thought I'd run him around. Mark had to hold the ball a little bit longer, and as he stepped back, throw it because he didn't step up like he was supposed to. But anyway, that's another story. I'm running him around, but Leslie reaches out and hits his hand as he's throwing the ball, and the ball flutters up, and I think it was returned back for a touchdown. I'm like, that's not good.
Darnell will throw on second down, looking up, and it's picked off, and on the run, and it's down the sideline.
This is it. 35, that's the
40.
Play.
It's Anthony Parker to the 50,
that's
to the 40, to the 35, 30, to the 25. He's gone. Touchdown, St. Louis.
There's something I could throw at Fortunato right now.
Something that won't break.
But that, yeah, it might get picked.
That was my fault.
Someone might pick it.
Well, that was James Stewart. He got 100 yards that day, so there was
and
at least
know,
a positive.
You know what else happened in that game?
Willie
we're
Jackson
driving at the end of the game.
Yeah,
Willie Jackson threw the ball instead of
exactly
putting
right.
it down.
Yeah,
we got a chance to tie
we'd
the ball game.
We'd have kicked the field goal and we would have won in overtime. I mean, they never stopped us all night.
No, well, no, and they didn't do anything
because
their touchdowns were scored from their defense.
From us,
but anyway, hey, it's good to see you.
Good to be here.
We've got many
this
more positives coming.
Okay, good.
Hold on, we'll.
Boy, don't you wish you could do this every week?
I really wish.
Well, a little trip down memory lane, but it's a great transition because that's a young quarterback who's coming off of a 4-interception performance last week. So what do you suppose his mindset is this week?
Not a lot of confidence.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you throw 4 picks and you try to have a short-term memory, but a day like that, boy, it's tough to put it aside. You just want to start with your first completion and get a little momentum, but, man, it's tough. It's tough to bounce back from those type of games.
Believe me. How much is it, though? I mean, listen, as – the only thing I can compare it to is playing left tackle. If you have a bad game, give a bunch of sacks, and you're going at the next game, and you know you want to play well. But that's so different because it's not everyone looking at you. I mean, but as a quarterback, and especially a young quarterback, Mark, I mean, what is going to be – what is his mindset going to be, and what is he trying to have his mindset be as he goes into this game? Because those, I think those are two different things. You know,
but
he's trying to convince himself that this is what I'm thinking, but lingering back there is the – demons, the voices saying, don't forget those 4 picks.
But there's a difference. Before you answer that, you know, when you gave up 3 sacks, you didn't have to have a press conference.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's completely different.
You didn't have to have one on Wednesday.
No, different.
Because I don't know if you guys happen to watch Bills.com, their website. And, you know, E.J. Manuel's got to stand up in front. I mean, here's, what is he, 21, 22-year-old?
Yeah.
He's got 9 games under his belt. And he's the face of the franchise now. You've been through that, Mark.
Yep.
Now you got to answer all these questions. That's added on to trying to figure out how do I play better.
Yeah, it's tough. And where it starts and where it needs to start, it starts in the game planning with Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone's got to find a way to get his young quarterback to, you know, let's get him into a rhythm. Let's get some early completions. We did that with Sanchez. Any young quarterback, if you struggle – you got to get him into a rhythm.
Explain. I think I know, but explain to everyone listening. How do you do that? What is an easy throw? What does that mean?
You know what? It's a screen. You know those quick screens on the outside. They're hitch
now routes.
They're smoke routes. Smoke. Now,
well,
now
I thought
routes.
That was the same thing.
It is.
Yeah, smoke and now are the same.
See, I told you.
But it's screens. It's quick screens
smoke
on the outside. It's hitch routes. It's slant routes. It's keeping everything your quick passing game, and you really try to get. A quarterback gets confidence as the game goes on. And when you get some early success, and it doesn't have to be a touchdown drive, but if you get a few completions under your belt, you stop thinking about the old game. But the quarterback position is about confidence. You know, whether you just threw 4 touchdowns or 4 interceptions, it's about stepping into a game and having confidence. And the strong guys that can bounce back from 4 picks, those are the guys that last. That turn around and stay in this business in a long time because they have the ability to forget what happened the previous game, learn from it, and go out there and just keep fighting.
Yeah, it'd be a heck of a lot easier, too, if you had a little help. I mean,
that helps
Stevie
too.
Johnson, was responsible for maybe two interceptions this past week.
Playing volleyball.
Yep. Tampa, because he's hearing footsteps and short-arm him
a ball.
And then he gets cut off on one route, and the quarterback shouldn't have thrown it, but it wasn't the greatest effort to run the route.
Nope, he drifted.
You know, as a wide receiver, I mean, hey, you got a young rookie quarterback.
Help him out. Fight for him.
You know? Do something to help him, and then after the game, take a little blame on yourself where you
absolutely
should be doing it.
No question. You know, the position is a very dependent position, and if you're a young quarterback, you're exactly right, Jeff. You've got to have guys. You've got to have protection. You've got to have some go-to guys that are going to do whatever they can to allow their young quarterback to have success. And, you know, getting back to the pride, part of the reason, you know, I'm up there, the main reason I'm up there is because I was surrounded by some really good players for a long time here. Jimmy and Keenan, good offensive linemen. You know, probably the best thing that
we had.
it was Fred Taylor. We had a running game, which allows your passing game to do so much. You can't defend everything if you have guys like Jimmy and Keenan, and you've got Kyle, you've got protection, you've got a running game. And I've always said the best thing a quarterback can have, aside from all that, is a pretty solid defense on the other side of the ball. It makes that dependent position much easier.
Well, now let me ask you. I mean, don't the guys who, and you mentioned it, but the guys who do have success at quarterback, and really any position, but I think quarterback is accentuated, like, because of what Jeff said. I mean, if Jeff and I had a bad game, we knew it. We were embarrassed. We were disappointed. It bothered us. You know, our coaches knew it. You know, maybe the diehard football fans knew it. But Jeff and I never sat in front of a press conference saying, you know, Jeff, hey, why'd that guy kick your rear end every play and you didn't get off the line of scrimmage? I mean, why, Tony, you couldn't stop the spin move today? I mean, what's the problem? Are you just fat and out of shape? I mean, no one asked those questions. But the quarterback, they do.
Prisco did every now and then.
Yeah, but don't I got to believe the great ones at that position, almost after a game like that, they go into this game and they don't even. It's not even on the radar. No. If you asked them, they would what are you talking about? I didn't throw four.
You know, a perfect example.
I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. I think those guys are wired like that. Nothing phases them, the good ones.
The best of the best have bad games.
Absolutely.
Perfect example is Drew Brees up in Seattle. Horrible night. Horrible night. He comes out against the Panthers next week as if it never happened, you know? And that's part of the reason why those guys are so good. The Peytons and the Aaron Rodgers, and they just compete, and more times than not, they're going to have great games. But they understand that every now and then, you know, maybe it's two or three games a season, they're going to have nights like that.
Well, and you bring up that, so Drew Brees, because I did that Sunday night game for Westwood One with the Panthers, and so following and keeping up. After the game, after he played terrible and they got their butts beat, and the storyline going in is they can't win on the road, they don't play the same football, and he was getting grilled about they're not as good on the road and they struggle on the road and, you know, all this stuff. And after playing bad, after him not playing well, the team not playing well, he was indignant. Like saying, what are you talking about? We have the second best record in football over the last, you know, I mean, 4 years on the road. I mean, and it's that confidence, borderline arrogance, which I think you have to play professional sports, especially that position. It was like almost like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I mean, literally, like 30 minutes earlier, he was embarrassed on national TV. Yep. And now he's in front of everybody saying, no, we're great. I'm great.
You know, he said it. He said, you know.
It's unbelievable.
And these were the numbers.
It's beautiful.
Since 2009, the Saints on the road won 63% of their
second
games.
Second best.
Second best in the NFL. And so, and he said, hey, numbers don't lie. You know, we're a great team on the road. There's no question. And he was indignant. And he rarely gets like that. He's like, listen. You know, after a game like that, you would think he would just be down. He's like, no. In his mind,
they're a great team.
They're a great team. He's a great quarterback, and his mindset had changed from what happened just then at that game to the Panthers, and he couldn't wait to get out
just
there.
Just had
and
a
compete.
Bad night.
Yeah, it didn't even affect him. It did not affect his mindset, how he viewed himself at all, and that is amazing to me.
Yeah.
And that's what the great ones do.
All right, well, here's something to tease for when we come back.
All right. Tease away. You're a pro.
RG3.
He doesn't have that right now.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on up there, Mark?
You know, what I see, and I haven't seen all the clips. Are we going to a break?
Yeah,
we
can go to
we'll
a break.
Come back.
Let's take a break.
That was a tease. That you were supposed to say, hey, I'll tell you when we get back.
Gotcha. I've been teased.
The radio coach right there.
Consider myself teased.
We'll take a break and come back.
Just follow me. I'll help you along.
News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, play action rolling out to his left. Looking, looking. He's got room to run. 10, 5. Brunell leaps. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Cleveland.
Mark Brunell's first rushing touchdown since December the 14th, 1997. And Jacksonville grabs a 13-0 lead. How about Mark Brunell going airborne?
It was awesome.
Yeah, Tom didn't like that one.
No, I can
imagine. I remember
imagine
coming
to
the sideline and he gave me that. What are you doing? Look, what are you doing?
Yeah, scoring. Kind of like John Elway at Super Bowl, right?
I mean, no, but
he jump up in the air and then get hammered.
He flipped.
Yeah, I did the.
Elway went like sideways, like
helicopter.
Helicopter. He went head over head.
I mean, same thing.
Yeah, there's a still shot where you are perfect. Pencil.
I actually
head
got
down.
I
looked like you were diving.
Actually, my dad has like 5 photos from the ground, you know, all the way down. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember that play.
A lot of fun.
It was a naked bootleg. He rolled to the left. And because of the play, I'm trailing, and I'm just sitting there. There's nothing to do because he's out in front. So I'm watching the whole thing, and goes up, flips, lands. All right.
Not smart.
Pretty good.
RG3.
It scored.
RG3
does
that
play
in Washington.
Well, they're a mess in Washington.
It is a
well,
mess.
The dysfunction starts at the top.
Yeah, and it goes right through. I mean, I think this is more about the owner and the coach having a stare down of who's going to blink first, and I'll show you. And RG3, because he's the owner's guy and has got special treatment by the owner, supposedly, and the owner is trying to build everything around him. And, you know, and this whole persona of RG3 has been built up over the offseason, and I don't think Shanahan's ever liked it. And I think he sees a young kid who needs to get better, needed an offseason, didn't get it, fights injury, doesn't play the game the way he wants yet, has the ability, but all this has gone to his head a little bit and isn't preparing the way he wants him to. And the owners basically said, too bad, this is my guy. And finally Shannon said, okay, he's done for the year.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the off season for getting healthy?
Well, yeah.
I mean, players are paid to play.
Well, I could see if he had a lingering injury.
Well, he does, doesn't
he? But he's medically cleared. I mean,
no,
Tony,
no, no.
You've said a million different times, if you're cleared to play,
that's
you
my
play.
Point. No, but I could say, let's say he had a real bad ankle. That if it was the playoffs, you're gonna fight through it. Or let's say a situation for our position. If you were a player with a terribly torn labrum that is just killing you, and you could gut it out and medicate it and get through the last 3 games, I could see saying, you know what, yeah, you could, but we really need to start this rehab right now. Let's get surgery now so you're ready for the because. You're hurt. But RG3 has none of that. There's no lingering injury. He's healthy. They're making this decision. I mean, the funny thing is we want to make sure he's healthy and can have a good offseason. That's ridiculous.
That's kind of odd. And what did Kyle Shanahan say today?
Kyle Shanahan said today, and it's very strategic. The Shanahans, you know, Mike and Kyle, everything is they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
But Kyle said, he said, you know, I disagree with it. I think RG3 needs the reps, and he's right. And RG3, and the thing about getting back to just RG3, do you get the sense, though, just hearing his clips, his post-game press conferences, you get the sense that for RG3, it's about RG3.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
About,
without a doubt.
It's about him, and that needs to change.
Yep.
You know, there were some rumblings. You know, Santana Moss, you know, a few weeks ago had some comments in his post-game, but there's some serious problems there. But I think RG3, I think he needs a measure of humility. It's not like he's lit it up this year. Mm-hmm. He has not had a good season, obviously as evidenced by the win-loss. But there needs to be a different perspective from that quarterback position.
Humility's the key word, by the way.
No
so, so who's right? Is Mike Shanahan in the right?
Well, Mike Shanahan wants to see Kirk Cousins.
That's what he wants.
He says, I don't care about RG3. I said, I think we have a better chance to win with Kirk Cousins.
I believe that.
And,
but he didn't come out and say
no,
that.
But no, but I think that's the case. He knows he can't say it, and I don't think he wants to bury the kid.
But is he trying to do twofold? One, to give RG3 a needed dose of humility.
I think so.
And
yep.
Number two, to play a guy that he feels good about as far as the way he works and the way he prepares.
And one more thing. He wants to get fired.
Well, that's going to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing.
I think he wants
see,
out.
I don't necessarily agree with that because if he's the coach long term, wouldn't he be doing the right thing by trying to give a guy a needed dose of humility? I mean, right?
No, yeah. I think he is, but I think what he is doing is he's sticking it to the owner because the owner loves RG3 and he wants to build their entire brand and what they are around him, in my opinion. So he's sticking it to the owner, which will get him fired even faster probably,
yep.
if that's possible. And he gets to give a chance to the kid he thinks probably deserves it and is better and see what Kirk comes.
Who's then who's more in the wrong?
Oh, Mike, they're all
Mike
wrong.
Shanahan or Dan Snyder or RG3?
I think the owners let the coaches coach. I mean, you hire that guy to coach. And I think, you know, Dan Snyder's thing is he's always stuck his nose in there, much like Jerry Jones has. And he hasn't been right very often. You know, you hire a coach, you let him coach, let him make those decisions. And Mike said, he said, listen, and I don't know the exact quote, but he said, the owner, Dan Snyder, does not care at all about the other positions. Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
He says he didn't care about the other positions. He cares about one position, and that's RG3. And it's a power play up there. It's going to be interesting. Yep. But I don't think Shanahan survives. I think
he's getting fired.
He's done.
Speaking of humility, can I just bring this up real quick? Just right up the road there in Baltimore. Did you see Matt Edlam's comments about Calvin Johnson this week?
Yeah, they were old. They were dumb.
I mean, it was just off the cuff, but he called him pretty old. He's 28, had 300 and how many yards earlier this year in a game? From the stupid files, are you kidding me?
He's at the front of the line of stupid files.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb.
You know what they say? You can't fix stupid.
Yeah, well, I think Matt Edlam was a good football player, but the world?
But if
you
say something dumb like that
about Calvin Johnson,
are you in here?
Did you see Calvin's comments? I don't know who that is. I'll see him as I go by him.
You know, and I was listening to Mark
Schlereth,
whatever. Stinky.
Stinky.
Who I think does a good job on ESPN, and he has a radio show that I listen to from time to time, and he said something great. He says, you know what? Those guys drive me crazy to stay like that because Matt Elam doesn't have to cover him. He's talking about a guy that's some poor corner, and he says, I hated that. We'd have guys start talking junk to the guy I have to play, and it's like, oh, whoa, wait, slow down. Don't light his match. I like him nice and happy and not paying attention to what's going on. It makes it easier to play.
That's what bothered me about Wydell.
Wydell
would do the same thing.
I'd be playing a defensive end and everything's going fine. We're playing hard, but, you know.
He'd take a cheap shot.
Oh, yeah.
He would take a cheap shot and start talking to him. And I'm like, shut up. Leave me alone. I got him all by myself right now.
How'd you like to be back in that pocket when there was four guys that he was talking smack to? Like, David, be quiet.
Oh, wait a minute. You know
what he would do? He wouldn't block any of them. He'd call, you know, a gone call, meaning he was going to go find the one free linebacker that never came and help.
It was brilliant.
Because he was uncovered.
Wrong. Wasn't he the guy that threw the guy into your leg that hurt your knee?
Yeah, actually. I think he had something to do that.
By the way, he'll be there at alumni.
Oh, great. We're going to talk about this.
Let's not do that. Let's not bring up bad memories. My point of saying that is I thought.
Well, Joe started it.
Joe did start it. Doghouse Joe.
Stink, Mark Schlereth for ESPN did it. I agree with that. I hate when guys. Listen. If the corner for who's Elam play for anyways?
He plays for Baltimore.
Jimmy Smith came out and said, I think Megatron's old and I'm going to take care of him and I think I can get physical with him. That's fine. I think you're an idiot because Megatron's going to make you look stupid like he does most people. But at least you're the guy that can back up what you said. Matt Elam's sitting at 20 yards looking around saying, maybe I should go help this guy. And he's the one. If I was Jimmy Smith or whoever the other corner for the Ravens is, I would grab Matt Elam by the throat
and say,
let me tell you something.
Here's the thing.
Go talk about somebody you have to
cover. How many people before this knew who Matt Elam was?
Oh, I did just because he played
down here. That's
you didn't even know what team he played for. You just asked. What are you talking about?
I knew who he was, though.
You knew the name. You didn't even know which team he played for.
I knew he played safety for Florida.
You know, hey, some guys think that any press is good press.
Well, you know what the problem is, though?
And somebody had that famous statement that said that any press is good press. Who was that?
Some president. Lots
of people have said it. You know, just spell the name right.
Right.
Is the old NFL.
Well, I'll say this. Matt Elam better play well, and he better hope Megatron doesn't play well because everyone's heard about this now. And if he gets beat over the top, his name will be in bright lights on
ESPN. Do you think there's
ESPN.
Any chance that Calvin Johnson does not have a monster night?
None. But my point is, it'll be on ESPN and all the highlights, and it'll show Matt Elam laying there as Megatron's running by him.
I think he's going to Mike Doss him, like Fred did to Mike Doss here. Go right at him. Hey, by the way, I'm going to want this route right over the middle. where old Matt Elam is waiting for
me. Absolutely.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back and talk about games around the NFL this weekend. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Three receivers for Brunell. Natron Means is the running back. He is offset to the right behind Leon Searcy. Brunell with a long count watches as the defensive backs close up. Brunell turns. Now he's going to run. It's a try. He's across the five and into the end zone. Touchdown, and the Jaguars have a 23-10 lead.
I got a tweet.
Buffalo. Is that Buffalo? What was it?
97.
Huh.
And at the Liberty Bowl?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one either.
I do, because the big play at the end on fourth down was made by the man right there to secure the win.
I do remember that.
Hit Steve McNair on third and fourth down in that game.
Well, first, second, and third, to be exact.
But who's counting?
Well, fourth, too, right?
Yeah.
Fourth was the big one.
Yeah, the last three plays of the game.
Second, third, and
fourth. So second, third, and fourth. Yeah. Right, okay.
I love it.
I got a tweet from Caleb saying, read Elam's full statement. He compliments Megatron. You guys are reading ESPN's sensationalism.
What's wrong with that?
I guess he does compliment. I remember hearing this.
Of course you're going to compliment him. He's the best receiver in the game.
But Caleb, what he said still doesn't – I mean, just because he complimented afterwards, it's like saying, Brian, you are one stupid dude. But you know what? I like your clothes. You're a nice guy. I love hanging out with you, but you're dumb as a box of rocks. I don't think that – comment, like the compliments I follow
afterwards.
Yeah,
I think I'd still feel pretty bad about myself.
You'd probably still be like, okay.
Still call him old.
Yeah, that's my point.
That's
the whole point I'm making. I mean, if you call a guy old and we think we can get physical with him because he's not that physical anymore.
Yeah.
Then if you go on to say he's great and he's good, I mean, that doesn't make it okay for saying something stupid.
Yeah. It's still a stupid comment.
Caleb's not married, obviously, because if you've been married, you understand. If you say one dumb thing,
it's one too many.
It's one too many, because all the good things you say afterwards, it doesn't matter.
All right, some of the games we got to talk about in the next 9 minutes tonight. Good one. Chargers at the Broncos.
I think that's going to be a great game.
I do,
I'm looking forward to it.
That's a good one.
The Chargers are hot.
At the Broncos?
Yes.
It's at Denver.
What's the temperature?
Cold.
Let me look it up for you real quick.
You know what?
Does it matter the way that guy's playing?
I'm going with Phillip Rivers.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they don't have Wes Welker tonight. It's cold. Peyton Manning doesn't like the cold. I mean, that's been proven.
He said he told you and everyone else who thinks that to stick it where the sun don't shine. That's what he said.
You know what? It's not that cold. It's 43 degrees right now.
Oh, you're in trouble, Jeff. I like the Broncos.
This game's not. It hadn't even started yet. Let the temperature drop.
It starts in half an hour.
Let the temperature drop. It'll get colder as the game goes on. I'm picking the Chargers because Phillip Rivers is good. And I think the Chargers have the ability to make some plays on defense.
They can
score points just like the Broncos.
You know,
no, they cannot.
Okay.
You think they can score points at the pace the Broncos can score points?
If you get a few takeaways, absolutely.
They're expecting by about the end of the game for it to be 33 degrees. So it'll drop 10
degrees.
It's
cold enough.
You know, I'm going to go with Jeff. I think the Chargers are going to pull this one out. I think it's a good football game, and I think the Broncos are ripe for a loss.
Okay, now Tony, now you can talk.
Thank you.
Okay, now you tried to step on Mark.
Now you're going to say something nice after calling
them
idiots?
I think you guys are both idiots, although I think you are both dressed very snazzy.
Thank you very much.
All right, the Redskins at the Falcons on Sunday afternoon.
Who cares?
Okay.
No,
I'm going to go Smitty.
Smitty.
I think the Falcons are going to win that game.
What's going on in Washington is just bad.
And I actually really deep down think the Redskins are going to win because I think Kirk Cousins is going to come out and play well.
Yeah, but they can't play defense.
Yeah,
the Redskins
Atlanta's
are terrible
so
on defense.
Bad. I think I'm rooting for Atlanta, but probably the Redskins.
49ers at the Buccaneers.
I think that's a much closer game than anyone thinks.
But the 49ers are going to win it.
I think they win a close game at the end. But, I mean, it's a long trip, emotional game after playing Seattle this week. Tampa's playing much better football. I think that after being 0-8,
their defense is playing really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
What's their record now? 4-9?
They're 4-9. Just like the Jags.
Yeah, they've won 4 out of 5 like the Jags. They're playing well. Glennon, the young quarterback, I mean, he's playing good football.
He's okay.
He'll make some mistakes, but he's playing better. I mean, smart.
If they had the muscle hamster, I might pick the Bucs.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game.
But I'm going to take the 49ers.
I am too.
49ers.
Seahawks at the Giants.
The Seahawks are going to win that very easily because the Giants are not a good football team. As much as it pains me to say, the New York Giants are a bad football team.
It's fun watching Seattle because, I mean, even though they get star players or what's viewed as star players hurt, seems like they're just reloading. I mean, that's a good, really good football team in all aspects.
What do we say about Seattle? It's because of what, Brian? That Pete hates the culture.
Oh, they believe. Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about Pete Prisco. I thought you said Pete. I thought Pete Carroll.
No, Pete Prisco. Prisco hates when Brian and I start talking about culture.
Hmm. Well, you don't even need to go with culture. Just go. They've got good players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got good players across the board.
But they play well.
My point in saying that is what you alluded to, Jeff, is guys get hurt, but because the way they, as an organization, and they've bought into Pete, it's like, okay, someone's got hurt. And listen, you need good players to win, but they get guys who just step in and play hard.
But how many players are on other NFL teams that were either with Seattle in camp or on their practice squad?
Well, the number was 11 when we went to Seattle, but I'm sure it's more than that by now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, the Hawks beat them. Even if they have to travel to New York, they're still going to beat them.
Eagles at Vikings.
Eagles.
The Eagles are on a roll now.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings, AP's got a foot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Has Foles thrown a pick yet?
Yes. One last week.
One last week, huh?
In the snow.
Yeah, the Eagles are on a roll. I like Foles.
Patriots at Dolphins.
Patriots.
I think the Dolphins will win the game.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
Really?
All right. No Gronk. That's a different team.
Hey, I love Tom Brady. But, you know, Tony and I watched the tape last week of the – was it last week we watched the tape, New England? Against the Texans.
Yeah, their defense.
We're watching their defense, and I watched their offense too. If you take Tom Brady off of that roster, how good are they?
Not very.
There's nothing.
No.
Now with no Gronk?
And then you take the best offensive player, the best weapon that Tom has out of that equation, I'm taking Miami.
And they're not that good defensively.
Terrible.
All right, Texans at Colts.
Texans are done. The Colts aren't playing well.
They're not very good either.
Colts will win that one.
But I'm taking the Colts. And it might take them until the fourth quarter to grab the lead, which seems to be kind of the status quo for the Colts this year. But Andrew Luck will find a way.
Could J.J. Watt make life hard on Luck and find a way to create turnovers?
He could, but you know, they're just not playing well. And
Wade Phillips doesn't energize them?
And you could feel the lift when Schaub came in the game, first of all, because he played better than Keenum. But I think you could feel the rest of the team kind of said, hey, we got a chance now.
Yeah, but now they're going back to Keenum for the rest of the year.
I know, and I think that's a mistake. Yeah. I mean, that's an owner's decision right there.
Well, Bob McNair told me on the field before the game that they wanted to see what Keenum could do. They knew – I mean, he basically –
When he says they.
Well, the team, the franchise. They know that Schaub is not the guy. I mean, he said he's not the guy. We have to find out if Case Keenum is, and so we can make a decision this offseason.
Boy, did they make a mistake in giving Schaub all that money just more than a year ago.
I wonder how much that's going to hurt them. They're pretty close up against cap.
They're right against it.
Yeah. Well, although they're thinking the cap's going to go up to about $126 million. So, but he's – if they release
him – Which will go up, what, $5 million?
Something like that right now. If they – just round numbers, it looks like they could save $5 or $6 million if they cut him. All right, quickly roll through these. Bears, Browns?
Bears.
Bears, even though Jay Cutler's playing.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah, definitely the Chiefs. Even though it's in Oakland. You know, I don't know, though. You talk about, you know, divisional games. It's tough to pick, but I'll take Chiefs.
Jets at Panthers.
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 Packers at Cowboys. No Aaron Rodgers, likely.
Say that again, where?
Packers
at Cowboys, likely to play without Aaron Rodgers.
Cowboys' defense is literally the worst defense in the history of the NFL by yards and stuff of those.
Monty Kiffin. It's been a bad year for the Kiffins.
Poor Monty. I'm going to go with the Packers.
Really? I'm going to go with Cowboys.
I'm taking Cowboys.
Yep.
Cardinals at Titans.
Cardinals.
Cardinals. They're playing well.
Good
Saints
defense.
At Rams.
Saints.
Saints.
Bengals at Steelers.
Ooh.
Bengals.
Ravens at Lions.
Ravens. Just because the Lions always
Lions
mess
because
up.
Megatron's going to have 400 yards against Matt
I'm going Ravens.
All right.
There you have it.
Anything else?
I think congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Brian. Nice to
Thanks,
have you
guys.
This evening. Proud
Thanks.
Of you. And that'll do it for Jaguars Thursday. Talk to you on Sunday, everybody.
See
have
you.
A great rest of your week.